The title of this message is Athaliah. I'm sure I pronounced it wrong. But she was the murderous queen of Judah. If everyone would stand, we'll read the scripture verses from 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 28 and 29, and identified some of the pronouns. And he, referring to Ahaziah, king of the house of Judah, met with Joram, or Jehoram, king of the house of Israel, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, in Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. And King Joram went back to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which the Syrians had given him at Ramoth when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Hazael, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. You may be seated. Let's look at that last sentence again. And Hazael, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, or Jehoram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. Do you get what these two verses are saying? I would think you're going to have to look this up on the website and study it if you want to understand what this is about. We have Ahaziah, king of the house of Judah, fought with Jehoram, king of the house of Israel, against the Syrian army. The king of the house of Israel was wounded and went to Jezreel to be healed. The king of the house of Judah went to Jezreel to visit the wounded king of the house of Israel. They both were assassinated by Jehu, the future king of the house of Israel, with the bow and arrow. The kings of both houses, Ahaziah of Judah and Jehoram of Israel, died on the same day at the same location by the same man. And we think things are bad in our country. It'd be like in the war between the two nations that Jefferson Davis and Abraham Lincoln were killed on the same day. There were three questions about the royalty of both houses that were in power during this time that were sent to me several years ago, 2019. And I laid them aside as I didn't have the time to answer them. I now have the time, so I will attempt to answer these questions. They are very important questions because it questions the Lord's pure genetics. And I had these questions in mind for about 40 years trying to find the answer. And any attempt to give an answer is difficult because there are kings and two different kingdoms that have the same name and they ruled at the same time. For example, what was the name of the two kings who reigned in the two different kingdoms of Israel at the same time? About 8 years. Two different men, both named Jehoram, sometimes spelt J-O-R-A-M. One a son of Ahab, the wicked king of the house of Israel, and the other a son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. But that's not all. There are also two kings named Ahaziah, another son of Ahab, king of the house of Israel, and a grandson of Jehoshaphat, the son of Jehoram, king of the house of Judah. They were kings of two separate kingdoms who were on their thrones about 11 years apart. It is rather confusing when one is reading the Bible to determine which one the context is talking about. Is it the king of Israel or the king of Judah? The reader must read very carefully and keep in mind which kingdom the text is talking about, or he will become very confused. And I became very confused to study it out. For the house of Israel had King Ahaziah, followed by his brother, King Jehoram. The house of Judah had just the opposite. King Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, followed by King Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram. Now, I've got a chart here. I would suggest, if you're interested in finding out and studying this, that you study this little chart here. The house of Israel. We have Ahab, and I give the years that he reigned, who was the son of Omri. He reigned over the house of Israel in Samaria for 22 years. You might remember King Ahab and his wife Jezebel because Elijah confronted Ahab and Jezebel over Baal worship in his nation. He died when he was shot by an archer during the battle at Ramoth in Gilead. He died upon his arrival in Samaria. So that's Ahab. The house of Judah, he ruled a little bit after Ahab started to rule, 1870 to 1848, and he died down here. He reigned for 25 years. His death was by natural causes. Then after Ahab died, we have his son, Ahaziah. He ruled for 1853 to 1852, very short time. He reigned over Israel and Samaria for 2 years. His death, he fell through the lattice of his upper room and injured himself. Elijah the prophet told him he would never leave his bed, and he died. Then we have Jehoram. Jehoram, he starts to reign 1848 to 1841. Son of Jehoshaphat married, and there's the name of our message, Athaliah, daughter of King Ahab of the house of Israel. He reigned for 8 years during the reign of the king with the same name as the king of the house of Israel. So we have Jehoram of the house of Judah, and here's Jehoram of the house of Israel. We got Ahaz of the house of Israel and Ahaziah of the house of Judah, same name. And then Jehoram, another son of Ahab and Jezebel, and I put wicked seed line, reigned over Israel and Samaria for 12 years. Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, and there's the name of our sermon, Athaliah, reigned for 1 year. They both were killed by Jehu, who became the next king of the house of Israel. Killed at the same location, same time, both died. And then Jehu took ruling here, and Queen Athaliah took ruling as the king of the queen of Israel. The only queen mentioned as the queen of any of the two houses. She reigned for 6 years. She died when she was killed by troops assigned by Jehoiada the high priest to protect the next king of Judah, Joash. I suggest you study this chart if you're interested. Okay. Both kingdoms had a king, Jehoram, who reigned at the same time, and they both had Ahaziah as king, which ruled within about a decade of each other. And I've got a map. Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and down here's the Dead Sea, and here's Ramoth-Gilead in the tribe of Gad. That's where they were fighting the Syrians. You notice that Israel and Judah were united. And they fought Syria, and that's where the king got wounded. He went over here to Jezreel to get healed. Now, the questions that were asked, here's what he asked in his question sheet. He gave the background statement. Ahab, this is quoted, Ahab, son of Omri, he gives the scriptures, married Jezebel, daughter of so forth. Jezebel was the descendant of the wicked seed line. They had at least three children who served as kings and queens in the two houses. Now this mark here means he did not write this. I wrote this. Ahaziah, son of Ahab and Jezebel, king of the house of Israel. And then he starts his question here. Number two, Jehoram, also known as Jehoram, son of Ahab and Jezebel, king of the house of Israel. And then the name of our sermon, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, married her brother Jehoram, also Jehoram. And then Josiba was a daughter of this of our sermon topic, and Jehoram, and the sister of Ahaziah. She married Jehoiada the priest, and gives the scripture reference. Then he says, Ahaziah was the son of our sermon topic, and Jehoram. Ahaziah married Zibiah, and their son was Joash. Joash married Jeonathan, and their son was Amaziah. Then the following kings of Judah, all the way down to Zedekiah, which would eventually go to Jesus the Christ. And I say most of the scriptures given don't make much sense. I don't know why he gave some of these scripture references. The three questions that were asked. Did Athaliah marry her brother Jehoram? Question number two. Was Athaliah the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel? For if she were, she would disqualify Jesus the Christ from ever becoming the rightful king over Israel because he would be a mongrel. In question three, was Josiba the daughter of King Jehoram and Athaliah? And then I give you my answers. So there's the three questions. The first question, did Athaliah marry her brother Jehoram? The answer is given in 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 5 and 6. And it's very confusing, but you can straighten this one out. I don't think it's too hard. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. So then I add, so this would be Jehoram, king of Judah, not Jehoram, king of Israel, Athaliah's brother. And he, Jehoram, king of Judah, walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab, the wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So there's no doubt that Athaliah did not marry her brother. She married a person by the same name as her brother, Jehoram. Jehoram, king of Judah, ruled from Jerusalem. Her brother ruled in Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom. She was offered as Jehoram's wife to solidify peace negotiations between the two kingdoms. So Athaliah married Jehoram, king of Judah, not Jehoram, king of Israel. So the guy got confused. He had the right name, but the wrong king. That's an easy question. Now comes the very difficult question. Was Athaliah the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel? For if she were, that would disqualify Jesus the Christ from ever being the rightful king over Israel because he would have been a mongrel. This is an assumption because the Bible does not say that Athaliah was the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. However, most of the Bible commentators make this false assumption without any consideration of its consequences. Read carefully 2 Chronicles 21, verse 6. And he, Jehoram, king of Judah, walked in the way of the king of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. This verse gives some information as to who Athaliah's father was, for it says that Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab. It doesn't say she was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, just the daughter of Ahab. And to make it more confusing, look what the scriptures say in the second book of Kings, 2 Kings 8:25. In the 12th year of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, the king of Israel. So if you take one verse, Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab, And you take the other verse, she is the daughter of Omri, Omri's Ahab's father. So there is a controversy of who the parents of Athaliah was. The confusion is settled when one realizes the word translated daughter in 2 Kings 8:26 can sometimes and as many times translated as granddaughter or sister. So where it is translated the daughter of Omri, it could have been translated correctly as the granddaughter of Omri. For example, in the Degg Bible, its footnote on this word is granddaughter or descendant of Omri. It says, the footnote, that Omri's name prevailed above that of Ahab's. And I think that this would be the correct translation. But there is more information that we must take into consideration about Athaliah's possible mother. For her father, Ahab, was a very unusual sexual deviant. Most Bible commentators that say that Ahab and Jezebel were the parents of Athaliah never mention this verse. 2 Kings 10, 1a. And Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria? This verse doesn't say it, but it must be true. For Ahab didn't and couldn't have all these children with one wife. Ahab was the predecessor of, in my lifetime, sexual deviant Wilt Chamberlain, former NBA basketball star. Wilt bragged that he had slept with 20,000 different women in his lifetime. That would be about 1.5 women a day during his lifetime, beginning at age 18. This number was probably a little exaggerated, but he did sleep with thousands of women. At the end of his life, the 7-foot-1-inch center, who was never married, Wilt Chamberlain, said this, quote, "There is a slightly wholesome epilogue to this tale, what many would perceive to be utter debauchery, topped off with something of a lesson of for all aspiring Casanovas out there. Shortly before he died, and the 20,000-odd women after, Wilt Chamberlain stated the following during a 1999 interview. Having 1,000 different ladies is pretty cool, I've learned in my life. I've also found out that having one woman 1,000 different times is more satisfying," end quote. And there's a picture of Wilt Chamberlain. Well, if Ahab had 70 sons, how many daughters did he have? I think 70 sons in a row is a little bit out of line. So he had daughters. The Bible doesn't tell us. Ahab was only married to Jezebel for 22 years. No way she could have given birth to all these children. So Ahab had to have many concubines, like Wilt did. So this leaves us with three possibilities about the parents of Ahab, parents of Athaliah were. First possibility, Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. This is the most common view of Bible commentaries. But like I said before, most of these commentators ignore 2 Kings 10:1, where it tells us how many sons Ahab had. Anyone who makes this statement is denying the offering of Jesus the Christ, for they are saying that he was blemished. How many women would a man of today have to sleep with to produce over 70 sons and an unknown number of daughters? It couldn't be only one wife, who was only his wife for 22 years. That would be an impossibility. But if this impossibility happened, the line of Christ would not be of a pure seed. It would be mongrelized and thus make Jesus a mongrel, for Jezebel was a mongrel. And if Jesus was a mongrel, then Jesus could not have been the sacrifice for his people. For his people of pure stock, they are wheat, not tares. Because of this reason, this choice is not acceptable. Second possibility is Athena was the daughter of Omri, Ahab's father. His wife could also be an Israelite, but Athena, I believe, was Omri's granddaughter, not daughter, for it says in many places that she was the daughter of Ahab. So this choice is not acceptable. The third choice, Athena was the daughter of Ahab and another woman, a concubine who was an Israelite. And that's what I'm saying. Remember, Ahab was the father of 70 sons and an unknown number of daughters. Ahab had a lot of concubines. Given Athena's age when she bore King Azariah of the house of Judah, she had to have been before Ahab married Jezebel. There are a few more clues that help substantiate this view. For example, 1 Kings 16, 29 through 31. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. That is, he became king. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it has been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Here is important to note that Ahab did not take Jezebel to wife until after he became king. Ahab ruled for 22 years before he died. He was succeeded by two of his sons who were the sons of Jezebel. The scripture portrays these sons as being of age, grown or nearly grown men at the time when they came to rule. Jezebel was not an Adamic Israelite, so their children were mongrels. Both Ahaziah and Jehoram, kings of the house of Israel, were of the wicked seed line. But Ahab had many concubines besides his wife Jezebel, some before he became king and maybe some after. Ahab, no doubt, had many of these children, over 100 children, before he became king, therefore before he married Jezebel. But we know from the scriptures that Ahab and Jezebel had two sons that became king in the house of Israel. The first was Ahaziah, the second Jehoram. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 51 and 52. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother, that's Queen Jezebel, who made Israel to sin, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. And then 2 Kings 3:1, that Jeroboam, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria in the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 12 years. The ages of Ahab's sons are not given in Scripture. Ahaziah was Ahab's older son with Jezebel. If he were 20 years old when he came to rule, he'd have been born 2 years into Ahab's reign. The passage we have just cited surely indicates that Ahaziah was of age when he became king, since he was able to send servants abroad. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, died, and Joram, the son of Ahab, succeeded him. He ruled for 12 years. He was old enough to lead troops in battle, as we later see in 2 Kings chapter 3. So he too must have been of age. If he was 20, then he was born 2 years after his brother, around the 4th year of Ahab's rule. Both sons of Ahab may have been a little bit younger, but as Scripture portrays them, they could not have been much younger. Then, having been sons of Jezebel, they could not have been much older. Ahab married Jezebel after he became king, and in the early years of marriage, he was giving birth to these sons. If she gave birth to the daughter, Athaliah, how old would she have been when she married the king of the house of Judah? If Athaliah was born of Ahab and Jezebel, she could only be 12 years old. That would be the oldest age. when she gave birth to Ahaziah, future king of the house of Judah. That means that Athaliah would have married Jehoram at the age of 11 at the oldest. Then Athaliah could not have been older than 12 when her son Ahaziah was born. I think that this could not be the right scenario. Athaliah was not the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now I'm going to talk about Elijah, Ahab, and Ahaziah. Elijah had confronted King Ahab over the house of Israel's rejection of their God. It climaxed at the contest of Mount Carmel, in which the God of Israel proved that he was the real and only God. Baal, the sun god, was totally unable to bring forth the needed fire to burn up the offerings. After Ahab's death, his son King Ahaziah fell from the balcony through the lattice of the upper room in Samaria and was lying ill. So he sent messengers saying to them, "Go and consult Baal and see if I should recover from my illness." But an angel spoke to the prophet Elijah, asking him, "Why is the king going to consult the God of the foreigners and ignore the God of the people he is ruling over?" Then something very strange happened. After Elijah sent this message to the king, Ahaziah sent his officer with 50 men to Elijah, telling him to come to him. Elijah had God burn up the 51 men. This is repeated a second time. Another 51 men were burned up. The third time, the officer got on his knees and pleaded with Elijah to ask his God not to burn them up. But as a result of all this, Elijah told King Ahaziah, the wicked seed line, that he will never leave the bed that he was in. He was certainly going to die. And he died. How old was Ahaziah of Judah when he began to reign? This is a very interesting situation here. If Athaliah gave birth to a son who became a future king of Judah in the 14th year of Ahab's rule, then she must have been at least 15 years old. Therefore, she was born before Ahab took Jezebel to wife. And 22 years later, when their son began to reign, he reigned for only 1 year. 2 Kings 8, 25-26. In the 12th year of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Kind of confusing, these names. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Then it says in 2 Chronicles 22, verses 1 and 2, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah's youngest son king in his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest." So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years was Ahaziah when he began to reign. Wait a minute. The other verse said he was 22. This says he was 42 years old. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Verse 2 says that King Ahaziah was 42 years old when he began to reign. 2 Kings 8:26 says that he was 22 years old. Which one is correct? I don't know what these people say. King James Bibles never makes a mistake. It couldn't be 42 and 22 at the same time. 2 Chronicles 21:5 tells us Jehoram, Ahaziah's father, was 32 years old when he began to reign, that he reigned for 8 years. So 32 plus 8 is 40. He was 40 years old when he died. How could Jehoram be 40 years old when he died and his son be 42 years old? It's impossible. Now, Athaliah's death. To Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram and Athaliah. Athaliah was born the daughter of Ahab, king of the house of Israel. She was used to solidify peace negotiations between the two houses when she married Jehoram, king of Judah. But when Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and attempted to destroy all the royal heirs of Judah. But Josiba took her infant nephew, Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away so he would not be murdered. And they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land of Judah. Now think about this a second. Athaliah was from the family of Ahab, and Jehu had destroyed all of Ahab's descendants in Israel. Now after Jehu's coup, Athaliah tried to save something for Ahab's family by trying to eliminate the house of David in Judah. 2 Chronicles 22:11. But Josiba, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Josiba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. 2 Chronicles 22:11 tells us that Josiba, a princess, was the wife of Jehoiada, the high priest. Yet the Bible is silent as to who her mother was. But I agree with the famous Bible commentator Adam Clark that says, quote, "It is not likely that Josiba was the daughter of Athaliah. She was a sister, we find, to Ahaziah, the son of Athaliah, but probably by a different mother," unquote. But it's anyone's guess. Now, Athaliah's death. Both houses suffered greatly. They suffered worse than we're suffering now. Why do I say that? They just didn't lose their two kings. They suffered many other deaths, too. On that same day, Queen Jezebel was killed, thrown down from a high balcony of the palace and smashed on the stones of the courtyard. She was left to die there, and the dogs ate her body. All Athaliah's male relatives in Jezreel, capital city of Israel, the 70 boys and the young men in the royal family, were rounded up and beheaded. On Jehu's orders, their heads were placed in baskets at the city gate. Jehu then herded 42 of Athaliah's adult male relatives into a pit and slaughtered them at Bethek. He had killed anyone in Israel and Judah who might have been able to claim the thrones of those two kingdoms. Athaliah did the same thing in the house of Judah. She had murdered all the royal seed of the descendants of King David, including her own grandsons, so she could be queen. There was no one else who was qualified, or so she thought. Jerosheba's own life was not at risk until she intervened. And my question is, what would you have done if you were in her situation? She acted on behalf of future generations. She acted on behalf of us. And I'll tell you why in a minute. To preserve the rightful person for the throne, Josiba swooped up Joash, the child and future king, whose name means given by the Lord. She brought him to the temple, to the place where God lived, and with her husband they hid the future king and his nurse until the right time to reveal him. Here's the point. If it were not for her quick thinking and brave actions, the entire royal dynasty of Judah, the descendants of David and the ancestors of Christ, would have been wiped out. David died about 135 years ago, about the time my grandparents were born. All his descendants would be wiped out. But that would make our God a liar, because he had made a covenant with David. She secured the family that would produce the Messiah. Think about this for a minute. What are our enemies trying to do to us now? I'm telling you, there are false spirits. These people are possessed by false spirits. You're not going to convince them anything. They are trying to eliminate us from the earth. They're not trying to eliminate black people. They're trying to eliminate the people of God. Why are they trying to do this? To make our Lord God a liar. And if they can do this, they will make our Lord no longer our faithful God, for he will have no one left to worship him, and he would have promised something that he couldn't keep. Therefore, there is at least one descendant of David that is in royalty in Europe. They all may be intermingled with Jews, but there's one that's not. God's faithful. For 6 years, they hid the heir from the queen. The queen didn't know it. For 6 years, he was trained and nurtured in the ways of the temple. So Sheba not only had the courage to save him, but also the wisdom to know what to do. She's a heroess of Israel. And nobody knows who she is. For the sake of David, God remembered his promise and spared this one young survivor from the massacre of Athaliah. The line of David was almost extinguished and continued only in the presence of a small boy. But God preserved that flickering flame. You think that boy could have died of disease? You think someone could have stabbed him with a knife? No. He had to live on. He had to grow up. He had to have a wife. He had to have other offspring. The one remaining royal seat of David was preserved, for he could not die. He had to rule in Jerusalem. When the surviving son Joash became 7 years old, the high priest Jehoiada chose the Sabbath for the day of the coup, because that was the day when the guards changed their shifts and they could assemble two groups of guards at the temple at the same time without attracting attention. Can you believe this? For 6 years, everyone believed that there were no more surviving heirs of David's royal line, and there was no legitimate ruler to displace the wicked Athaliah. The secret had to be secure, because the king's son would be immediately killed if his existence was revealed. The captains and bodyguards and escorts must have been shocked by the sight of the 6-year-old heir to the throne. One reason Athaliah was able to reign for 6 years was that no one knew any alternative. Many people lived under the reign of an illegitimate wicked queen because they didn't know that there was a legitimate king ready to take reign in their lives. The priest gave the captains of hundreds of spears and shields, which had belonged to King David, that were in the temple of the Lord. It was fitting for these soldiers, who would set the heir of David's royal line back on the throne in Judah, to use these weapons which had belonged to King David. Jehoiada the high priest gave the command to seize Athaliah and take her away from the house of the Lord and kill her. Thus, the most infamous queen of Judah died at the hands of her executioners. My conclusion. Matthew gives the genealogy of Jesus, but omits some of the names. For example, Matthew goes from Jehoram to Uzziah, where the Old Testament takes us from Jehoram to Ahaziah, to Athaliah, to Joash, to Amaziah, to Uzziah. There are three generations missing in Matthew's listings. Ahaziah, Joash, and Amaziah. Jehoram is Uzziah's great-great-grandfather. While the royalty of the house of Israel was made up of pure Israelites until the kingship of Jehoram and Amaziah, who were children of Ahab and Jezebel, they were certainly very evil. They didn't serve their own god, but served the god Baal. They were both killed off in a mass murder, with no more descendants of the wicked seed line in the royalty. Athaliah was a pure-blooded Israelite, but she was about as evil as a woman could get. She even attempted to murder all the possible candidates for king in the kingdom of Judah, and she almost succeeded. The house of Israel were worshipers of Baal. Elijah felt that she was the only true worshiper of Israel's God, but he was instructed there were only 7,000 that had never bowed the knee to Baal. He was not the only one. Over a century after Israel was deported, the house of Judah was said to be worse than the Canaanites who occupied the land before they came and conquered it. They too became worshipers of Baal and not the God that had brought them up from bondage in Egypt. But our God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to the covenant that he made with our fathers. He will never cast away his people. And he is also faithful to the covenant that he made with David and swore an oath to him that David would always have a descendant ruling over Israel. That promise is still true. There will always be at least one of the royal seed of David ruling over the nations of Europe. Let's summarize the answers to the questions that I was asked. Question one. Athaliah married Jehoram, king of Judah, and not her brother, who was king of the house of Israel. Two, it is my opinion that Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and a pure-blooded Israelite concubine. Athaliah was also the granddaughter of Omri, Ahab's father, but she was not the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel and is never identified as being that. She is said to be the daughter of Ahab. 3, in 2 Chronicles 22:11 doesn't say that Josheba was the daughter of King Jehoram and Athaliah, but just that she was the daughter of the king, sister of King Ahaziah. The Bible doesn't say that this mostly unknown hero of Judah was given birth by Athaliah. I believe that she wasn't her mother, but it's just my opinion. It is anyone's guess. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.